in 8 years. Legends bow out. A young superstar perishes all too soon. And much more today on the Gym Class. 304 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 106.3, the South Gym. And our historic main gym, 1600 AM. Mark Dukes coming to you live from the Southwest Side Studios, along with our producer, Alex Kuhn, sitting in for Scott Unash today, taking a day for himself. Alex, welcome in.
It's good to be here, Mark. It was a good weekend at times. It was a very sad weekend at times. A lot of good, a lot of bad from this past weekend, and hope everybody's doing all right. Everybody's preparing for a little bit of adversity here in Cedar Rapids. We'll keep you updated on that as this show goes along, as the APC goes along. Everybody stay safe out there, please.
Yeah, we're here to entertain you for the next hour from a sports standpoint, but sometimes current events supersede that, and I just say that we want to give you an opportunity to offer any information you may have on our text line, our Jerry Ask Investments text line, or our phone line, 319-366-1600, numbers one and the same. Anything related and legitimate information that you'd like to pass along to us regarding the flood, whether it be traffic situations, what have you, we'd be glad to pass that along. I'm sure a lot of you out there joined in the volunteerism that happened over the last few days all across this city, areas affected. And let's not forget our partners and neighbors, our friends to the north, in Vinton, Waterloo, and points in between. They've already experienced or are experiencing the brunt of the flood of 2016, and Cedar Rapids is bracing for what is the second historic flood in 8 years. And it's, you know, an understatement to say it's really hard to believe that it's happening again, but it is. I was down in the New Bow District Saturday afternoon after the postgame show, the Iowa Rutgers postgame show. I was there Friday and Thursday as well, but it struck me, having been, you know, a manager of a business in that area 8 years ago and being severely impacted from that standpoint, and then seeing what's going on now, number one, I think what happened 8 years ago prepared us a lot better for this year. But it struck me, you know, how what an eerie sight it was to see preparations underway, businesses being emptied, sandbags being thrown up against front doors and windows, but also the outpouring of people that were there to help. And I know it also happened in other areas of the city, but I mean, students from various schools across the area, college students, just people walking down the street with a shovel in their hand ready to pitch in. And that was really gratifying to see. And I hasten to say it's going to be needed here after the crest as well.
No question about that. And Mark, I wasn't here in 2008. I was still about a year before I arrived in the area. But I can only imagine for the people that were affected by the 2008 flood, what the reaction was when news broke that this is going to be happening again. But like you said, the high schools letting their kids out earlier to help in preparations, the businesses, our own business, our businesses around the area, letting their workers out of work early to help preparations. It's one of those things where it's a terrible situation. But having gone through it 8 years ago, you can never be fully prepared for something like this. But I think you're a lot more prepared than this time around, and hopefully a lot less people are affected this time.
7508 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line says there's a river rescue underway near Edgewood. Assume that's Edgewood Road. Stay away from the water. Again, if you have information regarding the flood, traffic situations, any pertinent and accurate information, we'll be glad to pass that along. Michael Loss going to be joining us in just a few minutes. The sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was in Piscataway, New Jersey over the weekend. to witness Iowa's 14-7 victory over Rutgers. Mike also was involved in the flood coverage of 2008, I know. And having been in the sports department, sports writers are sometimes viewed not in the best of lights by the news department. They think it's the toy department and whatnot, but I can tell you that Mike and others have reporting skills and demonstrated that in 2008. So perhaps we'll visit with him a little bit about that as well. Well, I mentioned the legends bow out in more ways than one. Vin Scully doing his last home game for the LA Dodgers, and God, it couldn't be more fitting for a Dodger to hit a walk-off home run in his very last game, and the Dodgers players saluting him from the field up to his booth, and of course his last game is going to be in San Francisco.
I have never had the pleasure of meeting Vin Scully, but I remember as a young broadcaster when I was just starting play-by-play, I started with a baseball team, a summer collegiate baseball team, and I had a mentor there who's the play-by-play voice of Oregon State University, a guy by the name of Mike Parker. And I knew nothing at the time, but one of the things that Mike did was he brought me a cassette tape, and he said, listen to this. And it was a random sixth inning of a 19-whatever Dodgers game. Vin Scully in the middle of May. And everybody remembers what his memorable calls of no-hitters and perfect games and championships, but the amount of knowledge you can take away from a random third inning, a random sixth inning, he's one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. And the one thing that my mentor told me when listening to that tape is, I can no more tell you to duplicate this than I can tell a young baseball player to hit like Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot you can take from a guy that did what he did for so long at such a high level.
Certainly an icon, and I never met the man either, but if you listened to him at all, you felt like he was a friend, a guy delivering a baseball game to your ears, and it was a great scene to hear and see yesterday at the Chavez Ravine. 21-34 on the text line. Not only did they walk him off in his last game at Dodger Stadium, they won the division title. With that, couldn't be sweeter for a Dodger fan. So true. The other legend who bowed out, Arnold Palmer. And Arnold Palmer dying yesterday in Orlando, Florida, I believe, or actually in Latrobe, I'm sorry. But those from Latrobe, his hometown, to Orlando, where he spent much of his life, mourning today. The Golf Channel, which he started back in the day, devoting live coverage for the last, 9 or 10 hours to Arnold Palmer's death. You didn't have to be a golf fan to appreciate Arnold Palmer, because he transcended the sport. He came into golf when television was just getting rolling, and he played to the TV cameras extremely well. But more than golf, he established hospitals in Orlando, Florida for kids and mothers. His philanthropy was well known. He's a terrific businessman, building hundreds of golf courses across the globe. And a friend of mine actually spent some time with Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, and over a drink that was not an Arnold Palmer, I don't think. But he remarked about how just genuine the guy was. He was a guy who could, somebody said it today, he had a country club golf game and a private course personal demeanor, and maybe that's the best way to put it. 6739 the text line. Arnold Palmer, a true gentleman. Anybody out there meet Arnold Palmer ever? I know he played in the Amana VIP once, the old Amana VIP golf tournament in Iowa City. I'm pretty sure about that. But if you have any recollections of Arnold Palmer, certainly you can chime in. He was, you know, his battles with Jack Nicklaus are legendary. Nicklaus came on, and Palmer was older than Jack Nicklaus, but their battles were epic, and they eventually became very good friends. Did a lot of things together, and while they were adversaries on the golf course, they were certainly pals off it. And Arnold Palmer, his service is next Tuesday in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. But unfortunately, his was not the only death of the weekend. And Jose Fernandez, age 24, a terrific, promising pitcher, died early Sunday. He was found in the waters of Miami Beach with two others, their boat having capsized. And Alex, you met him one time, and I'll let you offer that story in a minute. But here was a guy that not only had tremendous baseball talent, he tried three times to escape from Cuba before he was successful on his fourth try. And as I've read, he once had to save his mother on one of those trips, trying to travel from Cuba to the United States. And at age 24, that's awful young.
He was 16 when I think it was his fourth try, when I think it was an unsuccessful try, when I think it was his grandmother that fell off.
It was his grandmother? I'm sorry.
The raft, and he jumped into the water to save her. I'll preface this by saying, back in my high school days, I used to be somewhat of an autograph collector.
Mm-hmm.
So during the summers, I'd spend a lot of time at Busch Stadium. I'd get into the stadium early, stay after, just to see if I could catch an autograph, catch a picture with some of these athletes. And some of them have kind of a larger-than-life persona when you see them in person. Some of them don't give you the time of day, and some of them you find to be a little phony, a little bit. And so, to a certain extent, I understand that they don't want to be bothered. But this happened, this would have been in late July. I went back to St. Louis to see a friend, and the same friend that I used to go spend summers with to go to Busch Stadium once or twice a week to get autographs. So we went to Ballpark Village, and I noticed this guy walking in. Like, wait a second, is that Jose Fernandez? Just walked into the bar. I'm like I said, some of these guys have a larger than life persona where you can tell they're a celebrity. Just the aura around him, he was a very approachable. And so I decided, you know what? Let me see if I can go strike up a conversation with him. So me, a friend, and one of my younger brother's friends went up to talk to him. So the younger brother's friend's name, his name is Tyler. He took the lead, started talking to him. And Jose stood there for 3 minutes and just chatted about baseball. He thanked us for support. And you just got the sense that this was a guy who had been through so much in life. 4 failed attempts to try to get to the United States. He's worked so hard at his craft, becoming one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, that he is still kind of shocked that he's gotten this far, that he had gotten this far, and he was so appreciative of all the fans. And I think that gets lost sometimes with these athletes. The fans are why you play the game, and he was so appreciative of us, these 3 random people coming up to him and talking to him. So appreciative that they're not allowed to take pictures in a bar. He walked outside with us just so we could get a picture with him.
Mm-hmm.
And just for after that 3 minutes of talking to him, I became a fan of his. And I'm not one of those people that follows
star crazed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not a star crazed person. I'm around sports enough, I think, that I try to, as much as I can, keep it professional. But after that, I started following his career more closely, and there's only one other baseball player, and that's Bryce Harper, that I have that kind of following with. And when I woke up yesterday and saw this news, it was like a gut punch, because it's just unfair.
How old are you?
I'm 25 years old. He's younger than me.
Yeah.
It's unfair. He fought for everything that he has. He's worked so hard. He is such a good guy. He was such a good guy. And he died trying to enjoy life. He was out on a boat. Wasn't drinking. Wasn't driving the boat. He died trying to enjoy life. And that's the hardest thing to cope with. And a lot of these unfortunate deaths, there's somewhat of a caveat. There's a learning experience with Oscar Tavares. He made a bad choice, mm-hmm. and he paid for it. With Josh Hancock, he made a bad choice, and he paid for it. When that doesn't happen, when we lose someone that young, that talented, with that good a character, and I keep hearing stories that reaffirm my inclination of how good of a guy he was, what he did for, like you said, with Arnold Palmer, his philanthropy, his service, the amount of time and money he spent with some sick children in Miami, all that reaffirm what I gathered in the 3 minutes that I interacted with him.
Made an impression on you.
Yeah. And to see that, it was just, it's horrible. And as Tyler Ryder tweeted yesterday, sometimes life isn't unfair, but these kind of unfortunate situations, I think, are the most difficult to deal with.
Well, yesterday, Fernandez, of course, pitched for the Miami Marlins, and their game yesterday against the Atlanta Braves, it was a meaningless game in more ways than one. That game was canceled. The Marlins will take on the Mets tonight, which does have an impact on the wild card race, and it will be played. And all the Marlins players are going to wear number 16 to remember Jose Fernandez. And I know watching the Twins game yesterday, they had a number 16 Fernandez in their dugout, and I think most major league teams did something in honor of Fernandez yesterday.
And I was talking about with my dad yesterday, and I caught a little bit of Pedro Gomez on ESPN. Did you catch this at all, Mark? Pedro Gomez?
I don't believe so, no.
He was of Cuban-American descent. He was talking about the Cuban-American population in Miami. Here you have this superstar that was... I don't think there was anyone that could say a bad word about him. He catered to the Cuban population. He catered to everybody. He was just such a likable guy, but especially to that tight-knit Cuban community that had gone through the oppression in their life. And to see a guy like that at that level succeed, and especially playing for the Miami Marlins. Miami, the second largest Cuban population in the world other than Havana. And so the way he'll be remembered, and I don't think he clearly wasn't in the major leagues as long as Roberto Clemente was, but I think he was that kind of star within his community. It's devastating for everyone, but especially those people in Miami who the ballpark is in a neighborhood called Little Havana.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. It's a really tough pill to swallow.
More discussion on these topics. Arnold Palmer, Jose Fernandez, Vin Scully coming up. We also have results of the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 to give you. And at the end of the program, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to Elvis Costello next week at the Paramount Theater. But up next, we're going to invite Mike Loss, Gazette sports columnist, in to visit with us. So stay tuned on the Gym Class, KGYM.
I unlocked $10 in thank yous with my DePaco checking, and now I'm unlocking a scary movie night.
I unlocked $25 in thank yous with my DePaco savings, and now I'm unlocking a month at the gym.
As a financial cooperative, member participation is the key ingredient that powers DePaco Community Credit Union. To say thanks for your credit union use, our Thank Yous campaign pays cash for your participation.
I unlocked $60 in thank yous with my years of DePaco membership, and now I'm unlocking tango lessons with my wife.
Now through September 30th, the more you use your cooperative, the more you're thanked. Not a member? Join today to start earning thank yous.
I unlocked $5 in thank yous with DePaco eStatements, and now I'm unlocking a chance to pay it forward.
I unlocked $25 in thank yous with my DePaco savings, and now I'm unlocking my daughter's future.
Participate to accumulate. Unlock your thank yous with DePaco. Equal housing opportunity. Federally insured by NCUA.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Imagine not having a care in the world about your plumbing and heating system. With Master Plumbing, join the Green Club and you can say it with confidence. Master Plumbing Green Club members get 3 free visits a year to check your heating, cooling, and plumbing systems. No service fees, no after-hour fee, and priority scheduling if and when there is a problem. There's even 10% off regular service fees all year long. So while it may not be a problem now, joining Master Plumbing's Green Club is also no problem. Just go to masterplumbingcr.com. Join and get in the green.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
325, welcome back. Mark Dukes alongside Alex Kuhn today. Scott Unash taking the day off. And we've been talking about the death of Arnold Palmer, the death of Jose Fernandez, the last home game call by Vin Scully at Dodger Stadium, and offering any updates that we may have to bring you via legitimate sources, and also from you out there on our text line, 319-366-1600. Please pass anything that you may see or think our listeners will need to know to us. We'd appreciate that. Right now I want to bring in Mike Halas, a former colleague of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and he is back on home territory from Piscataway, New Jersey. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. At the top of the show, we were talking about the flood a little bit, and I recall in 2008 that you donned a news reporter hat. Not that sports writers aren't anyway. But and you've done that in other circumstances as well, I think. But can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was all hands on deck, basically, when the worst part of the flood hit. And I actually wrote quite a few stories about the aftermath, the effect on